Welcome to A Course in Miracles. We have two new people, and it's Dwight and Lydia.
And
welcome.
Welcome, Dwight and Lydia. This is everybody.
Did they bring a chicken?
And they have lots of different names. Okay, now, we're in a part of the book that is... It's the obstacles to peace. Just follows the obstacles to peace. And now it's talking about specific fears that we carry. Fears that we carry that have become comfortable. That have become normal. Fears that we use because we think we have to, that it's wise to be afraid of how somebody else could hurt you. Of course. I mean, how wise is that? So says the ego. The ego says that if you're wise, you defend yourself from being unfairly treated. You keep your proper boundaries and you attack another person if they're out of line in order to defend yourself, and that will make you safe. That says the ego. That says the world. It turns out that's the perfect way to block the awareness of love's presence. When you need it the most. When you're in trouble, an argument, or fear comes up, or guilt is going around, and you're not really sure how much you own. Even if you're sure you don't own the guilt, but somebody else is sure you do, it's very uncomfortable being in these bodies and trying to be loving to another, one another. The ego says, defend, or even attack. You must go the exact opposite way. If you are to find love, if you are to find peace, if you are to join, if you are to spiritually awaken, you must go the exact opposite way the ego would have you go. Well, that makes it simple. Opposite way, right? It doesn't make it easy. But we're studying now, well, we always study, in the Course in Miracles, this task of going the opposite of your ego. See, because we've grown up with our egos. It's very comfortable. That is a way. The ego has an answer on how you can win. We are not learning anything here. We're learning to unlearn. That's what we're doing with the Course in Miracles. We are not memorizing. We're not growing. We're not changing what you are. We're not doing that with Course in Miracles. We're unlearning the bad habits that block love from your awareness. Look, if love is true, it's there waiting for you. Is that fair? You don't need to go out and seek and find love. You stop denying it. It's right there in the middle of the argument. Right there in the middle of the fear. Right there in the middle of the problem. The Course says that. That's where you find a miracle. A miracle in this book is a shift in perception. That's all. In your head. That's it. Nothing special from out there. All right. So the section we're working on, we haven't moved up this same paragraph now for 3 weeks. We have tried. But it's so important. It's so important. Because we're really going at the metaphysics of the biggest fear you could possibly have. It's essentially the fear of love. Yeah. See, the ego says, in certain situations, love makes you weak and vulnerable. And from the ego's point of view, it's right. You'll get walked all over.
we are learning the truth of what love actually is and what your relationships actually are. And you will find yourself not needing to defend yourself in situations where you're being personally insulted. It's a wonderful, wonderful freedom. And it's very disarming in the dance of special relationships. Special relationships is just what the Course calls these conditional love relationships of one body to another. So let's take a few moments, and I want you to think about this word. It's share. I just want you to think about this idea. What does it mean to share? Take yourself into the place where you just want to share. Don't think about sharing what. Don't think about sharing with whom. No. Come right into that sweet, sweet moment when you just want to share. The desire to give. That moment. What is that moment? What does it feel like? You want to share. You want to join. And just for contrast, what does it feel like when you believe you don't have enough, even for yourself, and you don't want to share? In fact, you want to hide what you have, withhold, or even lie to protect your little vulnerable self. What does that feel like? I can't share. That'd be crazy. What does that feel like? Where does that feel? I can't afford it. And now back to your abundance. I can't wait to afford it. Let's go. What is it like to want to share? How does that feeling move? Go to that moment where you feel, choose me. I want to do this. And now, if you can, just put a word, a single word or a short phrase, something that captures something about what's going on in you when you want to share. Kenny, what happens when you want to share? What's going on in your body, mind, spirit, mind? What's going on with you when you want to share?
It's a feeling that comes up before the words get generated.
Yes. Isn't it an interesting feeling? Mm-hmm. Everybody feel the contrast between I can't afford and I can't wait to afford? Isn't that interesting? Hits you differently, huh? Before the words come up. Very good. Beautiful. That's
it. Goes downhill.
That's right, isn't it? Patricia, what's it like when you want to share?
I kept thinking of the word vulnerable. Just because I just kept thinking about that it's a good feeling, but you just said then you go down. People can reject what you're going to share with them.
Yeah.
And then, so you're really putting yourself out there.
Willfully?
Yes.
Willfully putting yourself out there in a vulnerable situation. Beautiful. Interesting aspect of that. And isn't it? How defended is it to say, I'm going to hide what I have and I'm not going to share. I'm going to do the exact opposite. That's the opposite. That's not vulnerable. That's protected, safe, closed. I'll just stay small and leave it right like that. Versus, how can I help? I'm not sure what they're going to say. Well, you could start by coming over all weekend, bring your truck and your friends and help me move. That'll be a start. I don't have any food, so why don't you stop by Costco and pick up something for the crew? Thank you for offering. Oh, no! But that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about what happens in the world. A Course in Miracles is never about behavior. It's always about your mind. So you've captured something there. That it's a desire, even a willingness to be vulnerable. When you're really ready to say, choose me. I want to help. I don't know what's going to cost, but whatever it is, I'm so aligned with jumping in, I'll take it. It's a very interesting vulnerability. Willful. Yes. Mario, what's it like to want to share?
Depending on what situation I'm in, and because it just always changes. Truth. You know, it's just that I'm just the truth and everything. The truth is what protects me. It's my, yeah.
Well, that's great, Mario, because in order for you to have something valuable to share, for example, from the book, something like honesty, mm-hmm. or patience,
yeah.
or gentleness, or maybe your trust. In order for you to, these are things of truth because they come from what you really are.
Yeah, you see, but that's what I hide. Now, I'm not saying I hide behind it.
Yeah.
It's I stand behind it. It's like, oh, wow, what an army. You're talking about this tip of the spear. Wow.
Yeah, that's nice.
That's how I see it. It's just like, okay. Yeah. I don't know, sometimes I just roll with it and I gotta watch my words.
And let's compare truth with its opposite, you know, the lie. Which is stronger? Which is more eternal?
Truth.
Yes.
It protects me all the time.
Yeah.
As long as I stand behind it.
Yeah.
And I go with it.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm stepping into a whole different...
Yeah.
This is where I
You're
want
stepping
to
into a... A whole different domain.
This is where I want
to
be.
To operate from truth means that you are aligning yourself with what is, even if you don't understand it. To operate from lies, falsity, is to now align yourself with sophistry. It's going to fall apart. And you know it. And that's that little feeling that pops up before you even speak or have the words. This empowerment of wanting to share. There's a mysterious empowerment that you're feeling when you want to share. Let's see if we can touch on that some more. Carol, what's it like to want to share?
Well, I think it's like smiling from the inside, mm-hmm. and just how good that is, and just fun to see other people feel that same way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, it's not intentional, almost.
Yeah. Yeah. It is kind of fun. Mm. It's kind of fun to share.
Yeah.
The exact opposite of hiding and hoarding. It is. The smiles occur. Masako, what's it like to want to share? What's that moment like?
Whew, okay. It's a natural self-expression, okay? And I don't think about the outcome necessarily. I'm in the moment, and I'm just expressing whatever it's there. And what proceeds before that, sharing, it's a synonym for extension. So what I'm doing is I'm spontaneously being present and allowing this, the truth, to express itself in my body.
Nice. And therefore making the truth larger by extending, by expressing, by manifesting, by sharing. Maybe it's even received. Wouldn't that be great? It doesn't even matter if it's received. You already extending and expressing the smiles, the happiness. You're extending, expressing the truth that you would own yourself. And now you see it manifesting.
Yeah, because it's for me.
Yes.
And it's about sharing the love. Wherever it goes, it's no longer my business.
Yeah. Cecily, what's it like?
So I had a hard time when I was thinking about sharing, like, physically in this world, whether it was like objects or even sharing, you know, love and experience, because I would get caught up on trying to share with people who don't want to have that exchange back. And so for me, I went to like a layer down and the truth, and how you can, I have practiced really sharing with people at that level, whether they're involved physically or not, most of the time not, and that's a place where it just can happen all the time, just with my effort, and nothing on the physical level.
Beautiful. And that captures the desire to share. Comes back to the experience that is most important and most valuable, especially in our teaching and learning here. Not what it does out in the world, but what it does in you, as which is your world. Yes. And I love how you said it. You can do it anywhere, anytime, whether or not they receive it. You can actually elevate yourself into this experience of lovingness. Oh, yeah. And nobody can take that away.
Cool.
Is this cool?
Yeah.
Lillian, what's it like that moment when you want to share?
When I'm truly wanting to share, and truly is important, when I'm truly wanting to share, all I feel is love. And I feel it in me, and I feel it in everybody else, because I think it's, as far as I'm concerned, when I'm truly sharing my love, I'm not sharing my love, I'm just loving, and the loving feels like it's not just me, it's everybody. And so there's no fear in there, and it has an element of freedom.
Yes, there's an honesty in the true desire to share. You really want to share. There's a beautiful honesty there, whether or not it's received.
But I receive is the wrong word for me. I don't really care if they receive it or not.
Good.
What I know is that when I am in that space of love, I know they've got it. I mean, they might not know it, but I know it.
Yes. Because you're knowing yourself. You're seeing yourself as you truly are. Chapter 6, teach only love, comma, for that is what you are.
And you know what's really funny about, I was laughing my head off when you started tonight, because I'm on lesson, I think it's 109.
Get ready for tomorrow.
You come up with whatever's going on with whatever lesson I'm on.
Yes. Good. Lydia, what's it like to want to share? And you can always say pass too if you want, you guys.
Authenticity comes up for me. And I think there's a layer of vulnerability there for sure, but this is just without thinking about how the sharing is going to be received or how it lands. It's just like, this is me.
This is me. This is me. This is me. I'm going to own me right now. I'm here for you. Whoa. That's pretty sweet.
So if you thought it, you did it?
Yes, yes.
That's where I'm at.
That's correct.
Yeah.
When you thought it, you did it, and it's present. That's correct. Okay. And the more you can stay with this feeling that comes before the words and comes before the measure, before the doubt, and before all that, the more you can stay in that moment, we call it a holy instant. More you recognize the truth that's happening.
Yeah.
And the authenticity now, you will start to learn yourself. Maybe for the first time. Find yourself. The self that maybe has been protected all your life and defending all your life and preparing all your life for this simple, pure authenticity. How can I help you? I like how that feels.
Yeah.
It's the true me. Yeah, beautiful. What's it like to share?
Serve is a word that became really strong. Mm. And serve was not like to take care of, or it was more to serve my core.
Wow. Wow.
That really came strong with me.
Nice.
Serving the essence of it to be show up in myself at that moment in that.
Yeah. Moment. Yeah. And to do it.
And to do it. To be authentic with it.
To do yourself.
Not worry about how it's received or lands. Or
to be purposely vulnerable, come what may, because that act of service, sure it may have a cost. I'm here to share. It's a nice commitment to that. Good things come from that. Yeah, nice. Thanks. Trevor, what is it like when you want to share?
A lot of great stuff. Mm. My mind went to wanting to persuade. Mm. Not so much, it's like the share for me was just one of the hits, a lot of hits.
Sure.
But one of the hits was, okay, if I'm going to take the time to bother sharing, I'm going to want a receiver. Otherwise, I'm not going to bother.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to bother, I'm going to want to be. I'm going to want to.
Yeah.
I want agreement.
Yes. This is an aspect.
I want to join.
Join.
Just join is the word I'm trying to get to.
This is an aspect of the desire to share. Is to join.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is. First off, you're not going to want to share something. It's not good for them.
Nope.
It won't be good for you. It just fall apart. Won't receive right. So there's this natural innocent aspect of saying, I want to share what's good for me,
mm-hmm.
and have it be good for you too.
Mm, ideally, yeah.
Ideally.
I mean, I guess that's like I can see that fork in the road where the ego wants to share verse with a persuasive writer, like a codicil on there. I will share it, but you're gonna buy in.
Yeah.
And that's the ego version versus simply sharing with that intention to help and to connect.
Right.
And that's kind of like where I see that splits, and you got to be aware of that.
Yes. Watch out for the holy, the spiritual ego who will get in there and try to make somebody do the right thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or reinforce your own belief structures by getting people to buy into your persuasiveness.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're sharing, but it's kind of in a selfish way.
Yeah, but it's in a selfish way.
Mm.
Versus the joining.
The joining, right.
Starting from this mysterious feeling we can't put words on. Because the minute you put a word on it, you lose the essence of its truth. And its power. It's just this mysterious welling up that says, I want to share. Yeah. David, what's it like to want to share?
Can't wait.
Can't wait! Yes.
It's pretty cool. I mean, the old way of looking at sharing was, you know, with something maybe or whatever, it just not the same. Now it's way of doing it is just so different. It's that, you know, they talk about give, receive.
Yes.
This is give, receive. First look at give, receive, and you want to look at that. And now I've got hundreds of examples of that in reality.
Because
as I'm sharing,
yes,
giving it to somebody, and they'll get something, I got something back, and it just turns into, wow, circle just explodes.
Right.
And there's your miracles.
So this is the law of mind in this book. It's the law of God in this book. It's the law of love in this book. It's the law of the kingdom in this book. It's the law of the Holy Spirit in this book. As you give, you receive. As you give, you receive. As you give, you receive. It's a law of mind that works for fear too. Or anger. You will get angry as you give anger. You're going to get the anger, and then you're going to receive the anger as you give it, and it just gets more. It grows.
And then the word demonstrate comes in. It's like,
yes,
we teach, we always think it's the old way, and now it's like, it's a demonstration.
Yes.
It's an experience you have to do, and it's like, all of a sudden, it's like, oh, wow.
It's a cycle.
When you find it, you really can't describe it completely. Mm-hmm. You have to find it. Mm-hmm. You've got to figure it must be there.
Yeah. But it's a teaching learning cycle. Yeah. That happens automatically.
And it was tough for me to get it for a while. First I was going,
yes,
I saw it, but then after you do it a few times, all of a sudden it's like, oh.
Yes.
Oh, that was simple.
Yes. You tap into the power of your own mind.
Yeah.
In the lesson 109, when I was doing the practice part, which is I offer everyone whatever,
yes,
it felt like I was having it, and it didn't feel like I was offering it. It was just automatically there.
Right.
So
quickly, as you give, you receive. That's why it's called a law of mind.
Yeah. The word law.
I think also when you were talking about anger.
Yes.
I think that when you become angry at someone or mm-hmm. something or mm-hmm. yourself or whatever, you think you're continuing to get angrier because you're angry at them.
Mm-hmm.
But really, the truth is, you continue to get angrier because you're just angrier and angrier and angrier.
Yes.
And you're angry at, I mean, it just...
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I think
the body is a servant. The body is a holy, neutral thing, according to this book. It doesn't love, it doesn't hate, it doesn't worry, it doesn't... The body does whatever it's told to do by the mind. And it's fully capable of coming up with the proper drugs in its little pharmacy to pump into your bloodstream so that you feel what was ordered to be felt. It's got cortisol, adrenaline, dopamine, it's got all these drugs, good ones, bad ones, did you say you're really afraid? Oh, here we go. Right here. Right in the adrenal, right in the gland down here, cortisol starts to burn. It's so potent. It starts to burn. That's why you feel a fear here, and it moves out through your whole body. When it first shoots, it burns. You know, this is just it's chemistry, and your body's ready for whatever you want. And then you find out, oh no, I made a mistake. It's not your car's not been towed. It's right behind that. There it is. Now I see your car now. Excuse me, new set of chemicals, please.
Wow.
Let's dampen out the cortisol. It's going to take a little while. I'm still shaking, but don't worry, because now we got a little serotonin coming in, a little oxytocin coming in. I love the police department again. I hated them for a minute. Now I love them again, because they're really good guys. And then they start dampening down. The body changes and shifts, right? So self-fulfilling prophecy, as you give, you receive. Physical, mental, yes?
Immediately, you can't tell the difference.
This is part of this authenticating your experience.
Yeah.
And you don't have to wait. See, and you've learned that now.
Yeah, it's just instantaneous in some respects.
Times when you exercise your own mind to choose peace, and then you start getting peace,
even though the situation out there isn't quite the way you wished it was, but you start getting peace. You can't deny that experience and that self-empowerment. And that could be a definition of the whole book. You know, self-empowerment.
What we call the law, it's like it's the truth.
Yes.
You're realizing a truth that it's coming to you. And you know, you don't really, it's not something you can put a finger on and describe it. It's like love.
Yes.
It's always there. It's just something you'll recognize it.
You start to recognize it.
Yeah.
Feel the power of it. Sharon, what's it like to want to share?
It was giddy. I just felt giddy.
Yeah.
And then it went south.
Right?
To be honest, I mean.
Sure.
But yeah, giddy.
Giddy.
And then I went back into...
Giddy.
Yeah, I was pissed because I wanted to stay in giddy. But, and then, it just goes into practicalities.
Perfect. No, that's absolutely... Thank you for capturing that.
Yeah.
Anybody else have a word here for giddy? Anybody else feel that, by the way? The giddiness, yeah. The happiness.
Happiness, yeah.
Oh my God! They're like, yeah, that's me. That's me. I want to be that guy anyway. Oh, I wish I was that guy. Oh well, maybe someday I'll be that guy.
Yeah,
I'm gonna try tomorrow. Yeah. But just,
then it goes to temper. Then it gets tempered.
Yes, but that I'm after that giddiness.
Yeah. Down with giddiness, but then. Yeah.
We all felt it. That's my point. Is I hope everybody felt just even a moment of that freedom, of that touching on that giddiness. It's joy. It's love.
It's protection.
The giddiness is love. The giddiness is touching on the abundance of being able to give what you are, not what you have. What you are. Your authentic self. The ego will drag you back in and you start thinking, well, can I afford this? And you know, now it's instead of giving what I am, it's what I have. The time to move you over the weekend and all that. Right back to the ego. But like I say, we're here to capture not behavior that'll take care of itself. We're after your experience of you. What happens in your mind? It's always happens in your mind. Never happens out there anyway.
When I was doing 109 and I'd send out something to everyone.
Yes.
It was there so fast I thought, wait, I didn't ask for it. And then after a while I realized, oh, it's instantaneous. I get it back immediately.
Nice, Lauren. Yeah.
I love the distinction that you just made about what I am versus what I have.
Yes.
Because in what I am is infinite. It's unlimited.
Yeah.
And what you have is
yes.
It's limited. It's just the opposite.
Yes. There's a metaphysical principle in A Course in Miracles. Touches on it a couple of times. And it's this. This is a quote. Having and being are the same.
I don't get it.
Yeah, you probably need some marijuana assistance or something to try to open your mind. Sure, that would be very natural. I don't get it would be the perfect answer. That's right. It's metaphysics of what the Course is teaching. Every once in a while, the Course will jump up a level or three of spiritual discussion, and this is one of those times. It's normally operating at a much more practical level where we can be led and work our way to our understanding out of fear. But this particular phrase jumps. Whoa! Having and being are the same because you are spirit. You are not a body. You are free because you remain as you were created by truth. So you're still true. So your being is all that you can have.
Okay, I get that part.
So if the only thing you can have is truth, and you are an extension of God, then having and being is exactly the same. True having, Masako. Not having shekels. The only having that's worth having
is the having you can keep. And that's not your life.
Oh, I'm sorry.
David, what's it like to want to share?
It was great hearing everyone talk tonight. Good. I'm almost inclined to pass.
Sure.
For me, it's more of a need lately. Almost an obsessive and compulsive need to share. Yes. So for me, it's tempering.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
That's what I'm learning.
No, that's great.
That's great.
Because it is an addiction.
I'm stopping.
That's worth having. Unless it's your ego that's driving it.
Precisely.
And in that case, this is a giving to get.
That's right.
Very expensive in this one. Very good. Good catch. Good catch.
Made me think about Facebook for some reason.
I'm not on Facebook. Wow. But I hear you.
God, that's true.
That's it. When you said, like, the need, these, like, it drives.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Billions, millions of people.
Oh, yeah.
Feel that.
The ego.
And that's the method.
I draw into it every day. And, you know, some people I very much care about in that.
But even in that share, or even when you hit post up.
Yes.
You can do it from love or from ego.
Yes, that's right.
I like what a lot of people had to say. That was very surprising. What people have said today, it's just all over the map.
Really interesting.
Really great.
Yeah. You know, so it's not so much the action as the intention.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You seek no further than your own mind.
Huh?
Seek no further than yourself.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
I mean. Intellectually.
Yeah, well, we'll spend
some time. I can write that shit down.
Yeah, well, we'll spend some time with it. We will return to that comment many times on page 617 if you want to really dig in. Read the section on page 617.
Okay. So, I'll write that down.
Well, we'll go there together if you come another. We love to go to that page.
Okay.
What's it like to want to share?
What came up after a lot of other things was an expansion, to just expand. And I guess in being part of reality and hearing so many things, you know, that there's a want or a desire to help.
Yeah.
You know, people dump. Ain't it awful, awfulizing.
Yeah.
And there's that desire to share.
Yes.
What my, you know, my, where I'm at now, but it's so much different from where I was, that it's more of realizing that I'm the one that I'm getting, it's coming right back at me. I mean, there's so many aspects of that.
Yes.
Coming back at me.
Yes.
When I hear that, you know, the whole exchange, and then I can do a lot of forgiveness.
Yeah.
So there's that expansion of just being thankful to have people communicating to me.
And yes, and you're expanding.
It,
you're expanding the part of you that you're proud of.
Yeah, my excitement about how different life can be.
Yes.
You know, I hear all this other stuff, and it's like I know it. Yes, I agree. And now where I'm a different perception or perspective of that is so much easier. I'm not hung up on it. Passes so much easier.
Yes.
You know, I don't hold on to the anger or the frustration that I used to. That it's like, that's exciting. That's like, that's what I want to share is, wow, this worked for me.
Nice. You know. Beautiful.
I kind of saw it like a potluck.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Wow. Well, I'm just kind of going.
Sure, what you have,
huh? Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, when everybody brings their little, talking about potluck.
Now,
I don't know. I'm just saying.
Well, you know, Mario's our expert on food analogies. So let's go with this for a minute. You know, when I say when we have our intensives, you know what I usually say? I usually say, bring to the potluck what you would be happy to find there, and at least you'll be happy. Right. So it's really being very honest, you know.
Yeah.
You're bringing your happiness.
Yeah. Bye.
What about like as we go through stages, like
if Cecily told me if there's one more food reference, she's out of here.
Well, I was just thinking, like, I had this visual of I have a one-year-old nephew, and I went to visit him in his daycare about a month ago, and this little kid was really actively trying to share his toy with my nephew, but my nephew wouldn't give him the time of day. It was kind of sad to watch, but that little kid just kept on handing it to him, and it's like, didn't even faze him. So, but I think we lose that, you know, like as you said, we respond differently, I think, as we get wiser.
Yeah, right. Wiser to the world. We learn what we can lose. We start defending ourselves from losing. Yeah, very, very natural. Very natural. It's the way the ego protects you. Yeah. Yeah. Which is fine in the material stuff. Do that all you want. What we're here to do is to get giddy, even for an instant, to know that it's in us. And what else is behind that, you might ask? That is an opening. That you can have a spiritual awakening just on that instant. Your authentic self can be reborn and awakened right then, on just that instant. And that giddiness having come from you. It didn't come from anything. In fact, I made sure that when I said share, don't share anything in particular or to anybody in particular. Just want to share. Happy for no reason at all. That's the best. It's also the door to your awakening, to your enlightenment. Enlightenment will not be attached to any particular condition.
When you say enlightenment,
yes,
is that where you become the light of the world to someone that's...
You recognize yourself as the light of the world.
Okay, that's one. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. It's very light.
Yes.
It's not heavy, and it's not dark. That's why I like enlightenment, because yeah, you can go with all these other references. All its opposites is obviously not. Mm-hmm. You don't have to say what it is, but you sure as hell know what it's not.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, now, let's take what we just shared with each other and jump in to paragraph 12 on page 422. And then we're working into the part of the book where we're focusing on your brother, which is any other person on the planet, alive or dead, somebody you're dealing with. Ready, Jeff?
Sure.
Paragraph 12.
This brother who stands beside you still seems to be a stranger. You do not know him, and your interpretation of him is very fearful. And you attack him still, to keep what seems to be yourself unharmed. Yet, in his hands is your salvation. You see his madness, which you hate because you share it, and all the pity, Matt, and forgiveness that would heal it gives way to fear. Brother, you need forgiveness of your brother, for you will share in madness or in heaven together, and you and he will raise your eyes in faith together or not at all.
You and he will raise your eyes in faith together or not at all. It doesn't mean your brother's going to agree with you. It means how you see him, his essence, his truth, his authentic self, and how you see your authentic self. This means raising your eyes together.
So is the you and he me and me?
Yes. It is. It's you and your idea of yourself over there. Remember, as you awaken, there is nobody over there.
It's all illusion.
It's all illusion. And you are the dreamer of the dream. And until that point, You've been a figure in the dream, along with the other figures in the dream, all trying to work it out. Competing with each other, hoping for the best. But as you wake up, you want to go read it? Is it time to read it again? It is, isn't it? All right. Keep your finger here. We're coming right back. Go to page 595.
Again.
You know it's my favorite paragraph in the whole book. It's just like A Course in Miracles in a paragraph. 595. Paragraph 12.
That is a favorite, isn't it?
David, you ready?
Yep. This world is full of miracles. They stand in shining silence next to every dream of pain and suffering, of sin and guilt. They are the dream's alternative. Their choice to be the dreamer rather than deny the active role in making up the dream. They are the glad effects of taking back the consequences of sickness to its cause. The body is released because this mind acknowledges this is not done to me, but I am doing this. And this, the mind, is free to make another choice instead. Beginning here, salvation will proceed to change the course of every step in the descent to separation. But all the steps have been retraced. The ladder gone, and all the dreaming of the world undone.
This is what we're doing. Look on that same, on the page opposing on 594, paragraph 7, sentence 1. It summarizes in another way to take at what a miracle is. A miracle is a shift in perception, right? A miracle is going from wrong thinking to right thinking, that's all. It's not some lightning bolt to come out of something that happens that's unnatural. No. The miracle is in your mind. And look at paragraph 7, sentence 1. The miracle establishes that you dream a dream and that its content is not true. Remember the law of love we talked about in the beginning of the meeting? Law of mind, the law of spirit, the law of the kingdom, the law of God. As you give, you receive. Garbage in, garbage out. Love out, love out. Love out, love out. Fear out, fear out, fear in. As you think it, you got it. It's really simple. And it's really true. But the world will not teach this because the world wants you, the ego, wants you to be a victim. You can blame somebody else. That's how the world was built. And that's the addiction that we're dealing with here. We're putting down right now a very, very simple principle that is your next thought is your life. It just happens to be true. You know, another place that comes up is those couple of books, you know, Viktor Frankl and Elie Wiesel. They were concentration camp survivors, and it just went on and on and on. And they got lighter and thinner with no food, and their friends and family were killed and died, and they still lived, and they had to think about what was going on because they didn't die. And this is one of the principles that came out. Was, you know what, if I think differently just for a moment, I can be peaceful. I have no reason to be peaceful. This is hell beyond hell.
I don't deserve this.
But the choice can't be taken from you. That's correct. That's it. That's it. That's the one remaining power that you have, quote from the book. Power of choice. Yes.
Okay. So what about accepting what is? Yes. I'm so confused.
No, that's fine. It's a perfect. What about accepting what is? The challenge that is set before you, Sharon, is what is. If you look at it from the ego and materialism and form, what is you are running out of life. You're going to run out of money eventually, possibly. You're going to run out of time. You're going to run out of respect. To the world is about loss. Unless you go to school and get a bigger job to get more money so it doesn't run out.
That's just a rabbit trail. That's just, yes. Yeah,
right? So that's, if that's what is, then it's a world of loss and preventing loss. There is another way of looking at this. There's another way of seeing what is. So there is the spiritual self. For you to be able to wake up from just material concerns, even for an instant, and you did it, you felt giddy for no reason at all. And it was beautiful, and we all got it. And all of us felt it, maybe just skipped over it, but you mentioned it, and we brought it all back. I did. This is the true you that is permanent. It's the truth. The truth is what you get to keep when you wake up. Not because you made it.
It just is.
It's because it is. And you managed to touch it with our little meditation. You pushed aside, you let alone all the concerns of the world just for a moment. And your spiritual, your authentic self spoke. That was the idea of the exercise. And that grows as you learn to respect it is the only thing you can share. It grows. Good question. Thank you. All right. Okay, so back to page 422. Okay, a couple of interesting things here. This brother who stands beside you still seems to be a stranger. You do not know him, and your interpretation of him is very fearful. And that's because we're looking at a competitor, a body, somebody who could hurt you. We have to see this differently. And you attack him still to keep what seems to be yourself unharmed. Keep yourself safe. Defend yourself. Attack as necessary. Of course, you know, now Jesus clears his throat. Yet, in your brother's hands happens to be your salvation. Oh, I'm attacking my source of salvation. I'm busy attacking. He's not right about that. Let's think about that some more. Oh, and we do, and we shall. You see his madness, which you hate, because you share his madness. Okay? This is where key principle in A Course in Miracles. The healing occurs when you don't share in your brother's idea of being sick. This works for physical as well as mental. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, it's all in your mind. But we can use this for physical as well, and it works beautifully. If anybody here has somebody very sick in their life, there's cancer or there's, you know, whatever's going on, and you're going to have to deal with this on and off, you go into their presence and you simply don't share their idea of how bad this is. You don't deny it. You don't go verbally and say, hey, I just read A Course in Miracles that sickness is an offense against the truth, attack on God, and you really should stop that now. Right? No, none of that. It's for your mind. The giddiness will revisit you as you go back to the truth. It is for your perspective of what appears to be sick. They will tell you how much it hurts. They will tell you how worried they are. They will tell you what the doctor said. You listen and nod, and you be very supportive, as the world would. But for you, you would choose not to share their idea of sickness and how it can harm them in truth.
You take it in your mind from a physical discussion to a spiritual discussion in your mind. Now, you're doing this as a Course in Miracles exercise, because as you see them, you see yourself, okay? You're still going to change the bedpans, and you'll patch the blood up, and do whatever the world requires from the body, fine. But the exercise is, you are teaching yourself what you are in the presence of one who is very sick. You are teaching yourself what you are. In order to be the light of the world, you can't be the dark of the world. And if you share in their sickness, you will be the dark of the world. And you will supposedly be supporting them as you say, oh my God, that is so bad. Let me tell you how bad that gets. My mother had it. Oh, they had to take the leg off.
It's called fear.
It's called fear. And it seems to be, so it's completely the opposite of supportive. Do not share their idea of their sickness. You know what happens? Your face goes serene. Your shoulders drop. They're telling you how bad it is, and you don't seem to be too worried about it. You're looking right at them. They know you're present. They know the love is there. But they're not as worried. They don't feel worried because you're not so worried. You say, well, yeah, death, cancer sucks. Yeah, it does. But now, because your shoulders and your face is easy, you're not sending out stress. It's a different experience for you and for them. So just note taken. It's one of the practical things in the Course in Miracles that works inside and outside.
So just be present.
Just be present, and don't share their idea of how harmful the sickness is. Okay. Don't share their idea of how sick they are. Don't share it.
But where you have a problem is when you go into that room and you already think that way.
Yes.
And so you have a fear already, and then you see it, and that just reinforces your fear. So you have to be careful that you have healed your own inner fears before you have a chance of not picking it up from them and sharing it with them.
Anybody here about to go into that situation just by chance?
Go into what?
Go into a cancer room. You have to deal with some very difficult situation like this. Is anybody about to do that? If not, we're going to.
My wife's daughter has had a stroke. She's in bad shape.
Okay.
They're trying to deal with it. So I've been kind of using this stuff to let her know. Nothing to do with that. Just kind of helping out, and it's,
yeah,
it's trippy looking at and realizing. But yeah, just like you're saying, you're going, you know, they go, well, how come you're so stressed out, or how come this and that? It's
okay.
Yeah.
So he's holding a calmness with full knowledge of the difficulty. How do you do that? How do you take yourself to neutral rather than fear? One way is you go to page 28. In the car, before you go up there, and you read page 28 out loud, hoping that somehow it will work. Hold your finger on 422 and turn to page 28. This is one of the practical things, you know, one of our toolbox items, of Course in Miracles.
You should just memorize 422. Thank you.
Yeah, we're going to be at 422 for a little while. Yeah. So what you do is, in the car, as you're a little nervous about what to say, and what, I don't know what... I don't know, it seems really bad. This daughter's got a stroke, and what about supporting your wife, and what are you going to say to the daughter, and this could get complicated, right? Yeah. You know what? Step back.
Yeah.
Let the Holy Spirit, instead of the unholy Spirit, talk to you and talk through you. And maybe you just read this. Maybe you memorize this. Okay? It says, I am here only to be truly helpful, period. Not just helpful. Helpful with the quality of truth, which means that it actually goes where it can be used. I have my ideas on how to be helpful. My ego's got an idea. Just throw money at it, or throw some flowers at it, or chocolate, or take everybody out. I want to take everybody out, and we'll have a relaxing evening with pizza. No, truly helpful probably means you don't know what exactly to do. But for that situation, there is a truth that would be helpful. Let me be the one who's truly helpful. Want to share. That was our meditation. If you want to share. So you say in the car down there, in the parking lot, I am here at this hospital, in this cancer ward, or in this ICU, only to be truly helpful. I am here at this hospital in this situation to represent, capital letters now, him who sent me. It goes back to your authentic self. Your authentic self is sent by truth. Always. You may not, you may deny it and go to the ego, but always the truth is ready to be served. If you would just be willing to be truly helpful, and you're willing to do nothing, if you're willing, because you don't know what is going to be called for. I do not have to worry about what to say or what to do, because he who sent me, he will direct me. Take a breath. Some confidence is returning. You're showing up to serve the truth as best it can be served. I am content to be wherever he wishes, knowing he goes there with me. Okay, I can do this thing. I won't be alone. Now, here's one where we jump up a level, like we discussed earlier. I will be healed as I let him teach me to heal. Do you see the circle? I will be healed as I let him teach me to heal. And remember, one of the biggest aspects of most practical things in this book about healing is get yourself next to where the sickness is and don't share the idea of that sickness that that person has.
Love out, love in.
Yeah, stay with that. Okay. It transforms the whole situation. You'll be speaking different, and they'll be laughing instead of crying. I mean, everything changes.
Wow. It's really, you know, it's kind of interesting because I'm seeing it from the eye of the mind.
Yes.
And, you know, through that, wow, thank you. I just saw something that was just like, wow.
Good. You're welcome. Julie, you missed a great food reference. I know you.
Sorry.
Surely.
Okay, back to 422, please. Paragraph 12. Now we're going to sentence 7 now. Now Jesus calls you brother. Brother, you need forgiveness of your brother. What does forgiveness mean? Anybody? Anybody ready to answer that?
I thought it meant not separation.
New girl, do you study this book enough to know what this Course in Miracles means by forgiveness? I mean, the people who've been in this for 10 years can't do this.
Some stuff, but not. No, I haven't really opened this book too much. Okay. But I could.
Because it's completely opposite of what the dictionary says. It's really different than what the dictionary says. Julie, anybody else want to handle it? Julie, you want to handle this? How would you describe Course in Miracles forgiveness?
Recognizing that nothing outside of you, it's your own thoughts that are influencing how you feel about the situation. So forgiveness is not about the other person.
Yes.
It's about allowing yourself to see it differently and let go within your own mind of what your perception of it is.
Yes. Very good. Very good. That's it.
I'm always going like this.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Let
yeah. Stop that. Let it go. Let it go.
Yeah.
Let it go is another way to say forgiveness.
Yeah,
let it go. Because
like,
it's not real. Yeah. Things outside you do not affect you. Things outside can happen and can cost you money and take your legs off. Sure, that affects your body. But as remember, this is a spiritual meeting. We're trying to wake up to your spiritual presence. Nothing outside you can affect you. Even as you live in a body, when you change your mind about what you're seeing and going through, the world outside changes too, because you're attributing all the meaning it has to you.
Mm-hmm.
Your face goes calm.
Because you're like, this is just the world being the world. I'm not getting dragged into this mud. And I'm certainly not going to add to it today. I'm going to choose peace instead. Lesson 34. I could see peace instead of this. Misako?
How about in front of the book, it says, nothing real can be threatened. Mm-hmm. Nothing unreal exists. Yeah. Therein lies the peace of God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I love what Julie said about forgiveness. That was so powerful.
Yes.
As you were talking, it's totally the opposite from the world's idea of forgiveness. It's like there is something outside of us,
yes,
that we have to be okay with, right?
That hurt us.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, we're not going to punish it. It did hurt us. That's why forgiveness is needed, says the world.
Yeah.
It hurt me, and I'm not going to punish back. It deserves it, okay?
Mm-hmm. So
that's the world.
The course, just like what Julie said, it says that, no, these are your own obstacle in your stinking thinking.
That's it.
That's it. In the way.
Yes.
And
beautiful.
So I'm taking responsibility,
yes,
for my own mistakes.
Yes.
That needs correction.
The teacher has arrived.
Yeah. And this practice is so powerful.
Yes.
My God.
And practical.
Oh.
Now you seek no further. When you've got a difficult situation and you like to be more loving, you like to be more peaceful, now you know exactly who's going to be doing that. You're going to use your power of choice. And you're going to choose peace now. You're going to choose trust now. You're going to choose patience now. You're going to choose gentleness now. You're going to choose to be defenseless. Defenselessness. No defense needed now. It will change the way you speak. It will change the way you are perceived. It will change how much somebody feels they need to be defended from you. Because you won't be attacking.
There's another layer, because as the mind dawns on oneness,
yes,
there really is oneness. One thing cannot act on another.
Yes.
That separation. If one thing cannot act on another, then there is absolutely nothing to be upset about. So it's the next level, I think, is just that awareness of, like, there is no other, you know. But that's, like, that's the next, I think that's the next part of forgiveness, is just that there isn't even another.
Yeah.
For me.
Yes.
That's how I start to see
it. Yeah, as it turns out, as we get accustomed to the power of forgiveness, you start to wonder, why is this working? And why doesn't it work sometimes? It does work other times. The reason that forgiveness doesn't work, I want to be a nice guy, right? Don't you want to forgive the situation? And yet it comes up again. And you're still angry. I tried forgiving, and yet it's still... And that's because the miracle was missing. Everybody wants to go straight to love, right? Love, 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 love. But actually, I really hate what you did. I want to love you, but I hate what you did, and it really hurt me. And you shouldn't have done that. And you keep hurting me, but I want to love you. You see the problem? The miracle's missing. The miracle is missing.
Your perception.
Mm-hmm. Yes, your perception. What?
You're not offering it up. That's the
miracle. Correct. You're hanging on to your way of thinking, which says, I can be hurt by you, and I was hurt by you, and I'm holding a grudge. Oh! But I want to love you. Can we just, you know, love each other? Asshole.
Can you take that?
You see the conflict?
Why don't you just say you're sorry?
Why don't you say you're sorry?
Why don't you say you're sorry?
Tell me you're sorry.
Tell me what I think you need to tell me.
Right.
Tell me what I think you need
That's
to tell
right.
me.
That's right. And I want to see a tear.
Yeah,
I want to see
a little sincere. You better be sincere.
It better be a half a cheek tear, otherwise I'm not buying it.
Then I'll forgive you.
And then I'll forgive you.
Let it go.
It's very conditional. And you want the outside world to change so you can be happy.
See when he laughed.
Sick.
He got it.
Huh?
Right? He laughed.
Yeah.
He got the whole thing.
The whole thing. That's it. You got it. That's right.
Yeah.
That's the whole deal. How funny that is. How forgiveness of the world is the real F word.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're attacking. You really hurt me and you shouldn't have. You know that, right? You know that now? You shouldn't have hurt me?
Yes.
Yeah, so you should apologize.
You're bad.
Once I really feel it, then I'll forgive you. It's an attack. It's a deep attack. Versus forgiveness in this book is an inside job. Nothing outside me can harm me ever. Take responsibility for what you're experiencing.
Yeah. Well, last time I would have talked about, remember like that prodigal son I had?
Yes.
Well, it took an anger management class for me to do what I had to do. Mm. I was stuck at feeling guilty for what I had to do.
Mm. Yeah.
I had to let go.
Yeah. I had to let go. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Loosen the ropes. Now look at page 422 and look at paragraph 12, sentence 7. Brother, you need forgiveness of your brother in your mind, right? You're holding on to this image of a problem maker and a place of loss. You need to change your idea about what this person can do to you. For you will share in madness or you will share in heaven together.
Wow.
And you and he will raise your eyes in faith together or not at all. All right, let's read some more about this. We have time. Turn to page 431. I'm going to jump ahead a little bit. And let's talk a little bit more about your brother. Okay. And let's just skip to paragraph 9. I think we can do that. Yeah. And Sharon, would you read for us paragraph 9?
Prisoners bound with heavy chains for years, starved and emaciated, weak and exhausted, with eyes so long cast down in darkness they remember not the light, do not leap up in joy the instant they are made free. It takes a while for them to understand what freedom is. You groped feebly in the dust and found your brother's hand, uncertain whether to let it go or to take hold on life so long forgotten. And strengthen your hold. Raise your eyes unto your strong companion, in whom the meaning of your freedom lies. He seems to be crucified beside you, and yet his holiness remains untouched and perfect. And with him beside you, you shall this day enter with him into paradise and know the peace of God.
This would be a shift in perception about your brother. Somebody you're having a difficult time with, you have to see differently this way. Save what you love. Don't fight what you hate. You're still going to deal with this person. There'll be words, there'll be negotiations in the world. But this, you will do it from a sense of peace.
Is this what it means to, like, what's the phrase? Spite your nose from your face or something?
Oh, yeah, or cut off your nose to spite your face.
Is this what this means?
That's good. Yeah. That's what it means, is the meaning of that. Indeed.
Focus on the anger instead of letting it go.
Instead of letting it go, because you don't want the anger. If you focus the anger, you're going to keep it.
And that's self-created.
Yeah. And it's certainly perpetuated.
Yeah.
It's the same grown. Yeah. Yeah. No matter where you see it was actually created, you're willing to believe. You sure can grow it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Somebody else is going to. Yeah, exactly. Very good. David B., did you read
David M.? Yes.
Paragraph 10.
We're back to 422 or what?
We're on 431.
431. Paragraph 10. Such is my will for you and your brother, for each of you, for one another, and for himself. Here there is only holiness and joining without limit. For it is heaven but union, direct and perfect, and without the veil of fear upon it. That's a question mark. For what is heaven but union, direct and perfect, and not the veil of fear upon it? Here are we one, looking with perfect gentleness upon each other and on ourselves. Here all thoughts of any separation between us become impossible. You who are a prisoner in separation are now made free in paradise. And here would I unite with you, my friend, my brother, and myself.
Okay, what I was talking about here, again, is a situation where you're in conflict or confusion or afraid. You're in a tough situation. And what it's calling you to do is the opposite of what the ego would do. The ego would either defend or attack. This says, take a moment, join with the essence of this brother. Drop your defenses internally. You still duck. When they swing, the 2x4 with a nail in it, you duck. That's fine. That's what that level does. But in your heart and your mind, join. Join. It changes everything. They're very hard to do. Because in the world, you really got to lawyer up. That's how you, that's how you protect yourself. Right? But remember, this is a effort to awaken the spirit in you. Kasako.
I have a share for my life.
Okay.
To demonstrate this. So a couple of weeks ago, a friend of mine told me that, I'm going to call her Mary. Mary showed a lot of interest in Course in Miracles. So when you have coffee with her, don't be surprised if she brings it up. I was excited, right? Someone new to have this conversation. And so we went out for coffee, and it started fairly light because this was the first time that we had coffee together. And then and a few minutes after that, I said, new subject or something like that. I said, and then I was talking about Course in Miracles. And, we were sharing back and forth. And so I had a question. I said, because I sensed that she was very spiritual as well, not necessarily in Course in Miracles, but in general. So I felt okay about asking her this question. I said, in a lot of the spiritual communities, there's always a concern about, because forgiveness is such a big deal, the practice of forgiveness, that we're concerned because we don't want to be doormats. We don't want people taking advantage of us over and over. And how do you deal with that? So, I asked her, and then, she gave some answer. And I said, would you mind if you demonstrated something from your life the last time that you had this concern with the interaction with somebody? And boom, she turned on me. She says, I knew you were here to convert me. And let me tell you, I was shocked. That came out of nowhere. Before that, it was very congenial and light and fun. It's like getting to know someone for the first time, right? Well, anyway, it was so shocking to me. And then immediately I had to drop it. And then I apologized. And I told her, I said, because Sue said that she talked about Course in Miracles and that, you showed some interest about that. And she didn't say very much about after that. But anyway, I apologized and I told her why I brought it up. And then I just dropped it. Okay. And this was, years of practice now. It's being in the moment, right?
Being in the moment.
Yeah. So forgiveness, being present. Oh my God. Being present. And just allowing whatever it is to be there and being present. And so the part that I'm trying to get to is this wonderful thing called defensiveness. Being vulnerable and being okay with it. And
defenselessness, she said.
Thank you. Did I say that?
Yeah, no.
So 10 years ago, my God, I would have, called her an asshole. Oh, really? You assumed this without checking it out with me?
No.
Or, you know, something like that.
Sure.
But it was like, you know, is it really important? I mean, I wasn't thinking those terms. Mm-hmm. But really, it's like, what am I defending my position 10 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
And now, it really doesn't matter. Because it really is about accepting where she was and the mm-hmm. truth for her in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just danced with that.
Very good. Yeah. And you could join her right in that moment, even though you would say this is not your intention, this is how it is to love somebody.
It is. Absolutely.
Dave, could you crack that window for us? Get some air? Yes, indeed. Stay in the moment. Very good. Bridget, would you read for us paragraph 11 on 431?
Your gift unto your brother has given me the certainty our union will be soon. Share then this faith with me and know that it is justified. There is no fear in perfect love because it knows no sin.
In this book, the word sin means separation. There's actually no separation. Very good. Continue, please.
And it must look on others as on itself. Looking with charity within, what can it fear without? This innocent can see safely, and the pure in heart see God within his Son and look unto the Son to lead them to the Father. And where else would they go but where they will be?
They will to be.
To be.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. You and your brother now will lead the other to the Father as surely as God created his Son holy and kept him so. And your brother is the light of God's eternal promise of your immortality. See him as sinless, and there can be no fear in you.
See him as sinless. See him as not a divider. Join with him and join with her who felt she was being converted by a zealot. Came out for some nice coffee with a knife, and then it's going to be... You can join with that, right? We all know what that means. Rather than defend yourself, or at least go neutral. Very good, Pasako. Beats the heck out of fighting with her and saying, you got me all wrong. In fact, you're out of control. Yeah, good. Good. You bet. See him as sinless. Okay, back to page 422. And it works perfectly with paragraph 13. We just have enough time to read it. Julie, when you get there, you read for us paragraph 13, 422.
Sorry, paragraph 13?
Yes.
Okay. Beside you is one who offers you the chalice of atonement, for the Holy Spirit is in him. Would you hold his sins against him or accept his gift to you? Is this giver of salvation your friend or enemy? Choose which he is, remembering that you will receive of him according to your choice. He has in him the power to forgive your sin as you for him. Neither can give it to himself alone. And yet your Savior stands beside each one. Let him be what he is and seek not to make of love an enemy.
Save what you love, don't fight what you hate. Let's turn to lesson 351 in the back of the book. Way in the back of the book. Go to, it's in the late 400s.
480.
Thank you. 480. Page 480. Check this one out.
I'm sorry. 480.
Lesson 351. Patricia, are you there?
Hold on a second. Huh. 480.
Yeah.
351.
Yes, please.
My sinless brother is my guide to peace. My sinful brother is my guide to pain. And which I choose to see, I will behold. Who is my brother but your holy son? And if I see him sinful, I proclaim myself a sinner, not a son of God. Alone and friendless in a fearful world, yet this perception is a choice I make and can relinquish. I can also see my brother sinless as your holy son. And with this choice, I see my sinlessness, my everlasting comforter and friend beside me, and my way secure and clear. Choose, then, for me, my Father, through your voice. For he alone gives judgment in your name.
Whoa! Did she read that right?
Sounded like it.
You gotta work with this guy. You got to work with this one who seemed to be the problem. You have to recognize this is the solution in the big picture. Okay, now turn to, I don't have the page, but it's like page 690. Somewhere there, very, very late in the text. And check out some italics. It's kind of a send-off into the workbook. Is it actually 670, I mean. There's no 690. Gonna be choose once again section.
Alex, huh?
Yeah, 666.
Nope.
666.
1% short, upside down.
Is that what it is?
999.
You're pretty quick, Mario. This says, hey, choose once again if you would take your place among the saviors of the world, comma, page 666. Choose once again if you would take your place among the saviors of the world or would remain in hell and hold your brothers there with you in hell. That's what we're reading tonight. Look, it's already a hell situation because the ego's in charge, right? There's some difficulty or some disagreement going on. Now it's up to you to go for the true forgiveness, which is an inside job, and start chilling out a bit. Stop attacking. Stop escalating the fear. Stop bringing more of what you both don't want. Start you being the strong one. And decide that you'd like to be the solution, instead of making this even more difficult by fighting. Start being the savior of the world and bring some trust, bring some love, bring some openness, open-mindedness, bring some faith, bring some gentleness, bring some defenselessness, instead of opposite of all of those. It starts to de-escalate. Even as you still do what you're going to do anyway, you don't become a doormat. What you do is you embrace a joining and an understanding instead of a competition. Save what you love about that person, about that situation, instead of fight what you hate. You'll still do the same things, okay? You're still going to be dealing with in the world at that level, but you'll be doing it now without hate and fear. It's a much, much better way to live. It's the way that we use now. We can see in our brother the way out of the problem. Okay, choose once again if you would take your place among the saviors of the world or remain in hell and hold your brothers there with you. That's your send-off from the text into the workbook.
Wow.
Isn't that great?
That's beautiful.
Okay, so we just have a couple of minutes left. I think we can do it. Let's do paragraph 14.
Sure.
Three paragraphs in one night. It's like the old days.
Okay, as if we're not going to go back to 13 and 14.
We're on a whole new page tonight, folks. Mario, are you there?
Yes.
This is page 423 in the text. It's really saying the same stuff over and over.
So, what paragraph?
14, please.
Behold your friend, the Christ who stands beside you. How holy and how beautiful he is. You thought he sinned because you cast the veil of sin upon him to hide his loveliness. Mm-hmm. Yet still he holds forgiveness out to you to share his holiness. This enemy, the stranger, still offers you salvation as his friend. The enemies of Christ, the worshipers of sin, know not whom they attack.
Okay. You see in this paragraph, sentence 3, you thought he sinned because you cast the veil of sin upon him to hide his loveliness. In other words, he was an asshole. And he deserved to be punished. Yet, still, he holds forgiveness out to you to share his holiness. But didn't we just say we're in a difficult situation where this person could harm you? You see how we're calling you to see him with a capital letter? We're calling you to understand that the ugliness that you appear to be seeing in that other person is actually a drive toward love, and they don't know how to get there, and it's really sloppy. That's what a miracle is. It's a shift in perception about what they're doing. The ego says they're attacking you, calling you guilty, and they deserve to be punished themselves. After all, they're the problem, not you. That's what the ego says. Of course, the miracle says they're calling for love. They're in a world of hurt over there. Mm-hmm. Why don't you stand up and give them some love and some understanding and see what happens? Not being a doormat. You're just going to back up and be gentle. You're going to back up and be patient. Your ego says, no, now's the time to jump. You're going to be patient. They're going to think, why aren't you worried? I'm trying to attack you here. And the more you understand that their attack is a call for love, just like you call for love when you're in trouble. The times you've said things you didn't really want to say, but you did it because your ego made you say those things. The devil made you do it. Literally. Yeah. You said this is compassion, folks. This is the birth of compassion. This is the birth of the awareness of sharing what they want, you want also. They're going about it in a way you wouldn't go. But you also want happiness. You also want to be fairly treated. You also want to be heard.
I'm always using it as a weapon of love. You know, like for my comeback, if you're going to stir it, you're going to lick it. Okay. Well, I don't know, but the thing is,
looking at you.
Well, hey, why not?
A form of eating.
Well, yeah, just, oh yeah.
It's well, what I'm just saying is, just I use it. You know what's? Oh, like to protect myself.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It's just I have a whole different. Yeah. But the thing is, but then I'll go with it with you know the love part of it.
Yes. And it but just, you understand though
oh,
that
totally understand.
That love is not something you would necessarily say to their face or expect them to respond to. It's something you do in your mind. Yeah. You have to not share their idea of their difficulty.
So, I get that I shouldn't put their head on a pike because it makes me feel bad. I get that. I get that. I just don't want to do it. It makes me feel icky.
Yeah.
Got that.
Yes, yes.
Just can't get to the love part. So,
yes.
To get to the love part, I have to ask for a divine intervention.
Yes.
Okay, I'm still working on that.
Yes.
Can I say something? You know, a little while ago you mentioned, you said you were confused about accepting what's so. Yeah, this is kind of same thing, what you're talking about. And when you... forgiveness, another word for forgiveness is letting go. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Still having a problem with that one, too.
So, another way of saying this, you know, whatever it is that you experience,
That's what soul.
Yeah.
Right?
True.
Okay. All right. So in seeing that, because you know you need the shift in perception, you already know that. So you learn, you practice to let go. And letting go is part of that acceptance. Okay? You're not avoiding or suppressing or arguing with what happened. You're just saying, okay, this is what happened, and I'm just going to let it go. That's all it is.
I'm stuck with go where? I'm so practical. I just...
Yeah, but that's not your job.
Well, yeah.
It's not your job. It's the Holy
Spirit.
Let's have
a circle. And then something else that helps is lesson number 5. When you really do it honestly, which is, I'm never upset for the reason I think. And when you recognize that you're not upset for the reason you think, there's all sorts behind it. Neither are they.
Did I think that what you read very at the last was the way to do it, is to realize that they want to be loved just like you do.
Yes.
And so if that's what they're wanting, it's exactly what you're wanting.
Now you can join, right?
Why stay angry at them?
Now you can join.
Yeah.
You can be more patient with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's how I would go about saying I can love this person instead of being angry with them. Is that they just want what I'm wanting.
There's a shift in perception.
And they don't know how. And that's the truth. They don't know how.
That's the truth. They don't know how. They're striking out in every direction. They just want to be comfortable again.
And they learned how to not know how from the time they were starting to be raised by our society.
A Course in Miracles says to forget your past is to be reborn. To forget your past is to be reborn now. We look on the present without condemnation if you forget your whole past. You can be reborn. It's very powerful. It allows you to show up in the present moment. Takes all the conditions off. And you just show up as a possible loving being for somebody who needs love. This is a very nice way to share what you are instead of what you have and what you had in the past. Let it go. Share what you are by being in the present moment, fully present. And you say something like, you know, the truth is, I'm here only to be truly helpful. I'm showing up here now to represent Him who sent me. I don't have to worry about what to say or what to do, because He who sent me will direct me if I just stay present and I just stay open. I'm content to be wherever He wishes, knowing He goes there with me. And what's more is, I will be healed as I let Him teach me to heal. And with this comes your awakening. Thank you, thank you. Amen.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Working the brother thing. We will continue next week on the same topic.